Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Keeping Bob Enyart live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
Warning, this truth of a head, it gets beyond.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, Doug McBurney was in studio, and we spoke briefly about immigration policy. What should a proper immigration policy look like? So I wanted to take that a little bit further today. We have, of course, the case that the whole country has been devastated over when a five-time deportee, someone illegally in the country, deported five times back to Mexico, shot and murdered a 31-year-old woman, Catherine Steinle. And this was in San Francisco on Pier 14, having a wonderful time with her family, and shot dead. So that was actually one of two cases where illegal aliens murdered people. And I think that there should be a lawsuit filed by the family, in that case, for example, against the mayor of San Francisco. You know, it's very difficult to sue a governing official because they're shielded. However, for gross negligence, it is possible to break through that governmental shield and sue the individual. And I think that this case is a perfect case that the family of this young woman should sue the mayor and sue the city council personally and the city also. On top of those cases, now we have a six-time deported illegal immigrant who is charged in a felony hit and run of an Arizona mother and her two young children, and the five-year-old boy and a two-year-old were taken to a hospital. Severe lacerations to the five-year-old. And I bring up this case because of the marijuana involved. As we've reported repeatedly, Trayvon Martin, marijuana in his system, and Michael Brown in Ferguson, marijuana in his system, and Freddie Gray in Baltimore, marijuana in his system. The Miami cannibal, if you recall, the media thought he must be on bath salts. It was only marijuana in his system. And now this case, with a six-time deported illegal immigrant, and he is he's been charged with felony hit and run, and he was impaired. He was high on marijuana. Our website, kgov.com/marijuana, kgov.com/marijuana, listing the many recent peer-reviewed studies showing the devastating effects of marijuana. Okay. And that from a radio talk show in Colorado where, of course, we decriminalized marijuana, much to our shame and future turmoil. Okay, now, of course, with the U.S. Supreme Court, something referred to as the Supreme Court issued an opinion on something called homosexual marriage. And last week, we talked about yet another Christian leader, someone respected, follower of Christ, who has come out in support of homosexual marriage. And this is, it's not surprising. In fact, at our website, kgov.com/the-year-the-church-goes-gay, we have our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay. And we say superfluous because it seems to be happening everywhere. Well, this was Tony Campolo. And on the air, I shared with you guys a letter, an open letter, written to Tony Campolo by a fellow talk show host and Christian leader, Dr. Michael Brown. And so what an honor it is to have now Dr. Brown on Bob and Yurt Live. Dr. Brown, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Bob. Good to be on the air with you.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on, Dr. Brown. So what I was hoping is that you and I could talk about the current state of affairs in the country and especially in the church regarding the issue of homosexuality. You've reached many, including homosexuals, to help them recognize the deliverance and forgiveness they could have in Jesus Christ. I think you're an expert on the topic, Dr. Brown. I'd like you and I, if we can, to have a discussion about where the church is at and where the country is at.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of a perfect storm of all these things coming together at the same time. That on the one hand, in America in general, we are experiencing the after effects of the counterculture revolution of the 60s, the sexual revolution that took place then. This is the continuation of it. We're told that this is the continuation of the civil rights movement. It's really the continuation of the sexual revolution of the 60s, the continuing downgrading of marriage, the continuing flaunting of all different types of sexual expression. And if you look at polls, Bob, you'll see overwhelmingly the same people who say not a problem to live together out of wedlock, not a problem to have kids out of wedlock, divorce, not a problem. Those are the same ones saying marriage should be redefined.
Wow.
This is part of the larger culture of sexual anarchy.
Hey, Dr. Brown, what a good point you've made about the people who are defending homosexual marriage. But why don't you go ahead, and if you could speak up a little bit. So go ahead with the point you were making. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, what I was saying is this is part of the larger culture of sexual anarchy. And if you look on TV and notice that, say, 10, 15 years ago, the media was beginning more and more to celebrate homosexuality. You know, the shows like Will and Grace, kind of Tame Now, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, all that, all these different shows. What's the media celebrating now? Sister Wives, Big Love, My Five Wives. So you got shows on polygamy. Then you got shows like Married and Dating, celebrating polyamory. You have scenes and roles highlighting incest more than any time we could ever remember. You have shows highlighting swingers. So these are people in serial adultery, but it's just part of, quote, their marital arrangement. So, of course, we're now embracing a new form of marriage, which is not marriage at all, no matter how committed the people might be. Of course, we're now redefining it even more radically. We've so terribly downgraded it. And then the church, for many years now in America, has, not universally, but in so many ways, just kind of come to terms with the world. Preach the gospel that it's acceptable to the culture, embraced a message that bypasses the cross and that just allows people to basically do their own thing rather than take up the cross and follow Jesus. Because of that, you've got kind of a toothless gospel. You have many leaders who are more concerned with not offending people than not offending the Lord. You have a secular, worldly society that's really cast off the fear of God. Put all that together, it's no surprise that we find ourselves in this present condition.
Dr. Brown, we've been talking, of course, to so many Christians since this opinion was issued. We're not calling it a ruling. We're calling it an opinion. So many Christians parroting what they're hearing on Christian radio from the pulpit of their churches, that really this is a good thing because people should have the opportunity to love one another. I have a dear friend who lives in South Carolina. He attends a mega church with his family, and they're Christians. They love the Lord. They bring their Bibles to church. The church preaches the gospel. And my friend spoke with his family after this opinion was issued, and he was shocked that his wife thinks that this is a good ruling. His kids think grown kids think that this is a great time in America so that we could affirm everyone's right to love one another. And so I think, and we've seen it on Facebook and social media, so if I'm extrapolating correctly, Michael Brown, it seems that we have hundreds of thousands or millions of Christians who are so confused regarding morality and God's principles that they are taking the side of this issue that will lead to the destruction of millions of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, there are millions who haven't drunk the Kool-Aid.
Right.
But the way it feels to me is, if you remember, I think there was a reissue of the movie. I never saw it. But as a kid, there was a movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And, you know, these pods from out of space came to the Earth, and they made replicas of human beings, and they would take over people in their sleep.
Right.
And you realized, oh, no, they got you. That's kind of how it feels some days. Like, you got to be kidding me. You don't have a problem or an issue with this. You say, what about love? Listen, first, it has nothing to do with marriage. Let's start there. That marriage has always been about a man and woman coming together. The government doesn't tell you who you can love and not love. The government doesn't tell you who you can date and not date. If two men or three men or eight men or four women and four men want to shack up together, that's their business if they're not breaking the law. If they want to go to some minister and have them bless their union, they can do that if they can find the person. But don't call it marriage. The only reason the government gets involved with marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society, and therefore the society conveys benefits on marriage. The benefits are that children are naturally produced and the children are joined to their mother and father. That's why marriage is important to the government. Otherwise, the government doesn't get involved with this. Did you have to consult the government before you dated someone when you were a teenager or something like that? Of course not. The other thing is,
well,
you realize that...
Dr. Brown, could we talk about a couple of those things? First, the government having a proper role, a biblical role in marriage, but then also the issue of shacking up together and all. You know, there are many Christians who've argued that the government really should have nothing to say about marriage. But what they overlook, I think, is that God instituted church, government, and marriage. And marriage is lawful or unlawful. And the government, and only the government, could administer the authority necessary to deal with child custody issues, including divorce, division of property, and so on. And so that's why throughout the Bible we see that God expects governments to recognize marriage. God acknowledges the marriages that recognized by even secular governments, like in Egypt with Joseph and Potiphar's wife, like in the New Testament with Jesus and the divorced Samaritan woman. She was currently cohabitating, and Jesus recognized that she had been previously married and divorced, and right now she was not married. So it is central to the Judeo-Christian understanding of civilized society and marriage as its foundation, that a marriage is a union between a man and a woman for life, and that is recognized by the governing authorities.
Yeah, and let's also recognize that throughout history, there have been homosexual relations. Throughout history, it's recorded different ones engaged in homosexual acts, and in some societies even celebrated or some perverse thing where Nero marries his younger lover. You didn't even have a ceremony like that. And yet no one ever thought of redefining marriages. That was considered some bizarre, aberrant thing, because marriage had a certain function and purpose in society. When you get away from God's design, even if you don't believe in God, when you get away from God's design, there's destruction. For example, God made the body to function a certain way. And if I decided that I'm going to eat M&Ms and have milkshakes all day long, and that's my entire diet, even if I don't believe in God, I will hurt my health
right,
over
sure.
a period of time. If I don't believe in God and I'm a cigarette smoker, I will still damage my lungs for a period of time. Men were designed for women and women designed for men. From a biblical viewpoint, only the two can come together because woman was created out of the man. Now the two come back together and the two become one. It is same but different plus same but different. It's not different plus different or same plus same. It's same plus different with same plus different. Only those two can become one. Only those two can reproduce. And only those two can bring in the next generation and join that generation to mother and father.
And of course,
that's
if you
why
yes. And of course, if you want to celebrate diversity, well, diversity is a man and a woman. We even call it heterosexuality. Homosexuality is not very diverse. It's two of the same, and two of the same cannot become one flesh, as you pointed out, and is especially true when a child is conceived within a marriage where a man and a woman are committed to one another to be there for that child for the rest of their lives. That is a very special and precious opportunity that God has given to mankind. And the government is mocking God and turning something holy and blessed into a perversion when it undermines that marriage that God instituted.
Yeah, here's another question. I had a guest on my radio show today, and he happened to mention that President Obama was appointing the last Supreme Court justice that he did. He said it was important to have a woman and a woman's background and a woman experience and what she brings. Well, if that's important to the court, how much more important is it in the home? How much more important is it in the home that by choice the child has a mother and father, as opposed to by choice and design, the child is guaranteed to not have a mother or not have a father? How is that love? How is that thinking about the best interest of that child? Read the stories of children who were produced by anonymous sperm donors and the struggles that they live with and the pain that they live with because they wonder, who is my father and who am I related to? And where do I come from? I was talking to some folks years back, some Christian attorneys, and we were just discussing a family tree in normal life. I mean, picture that in the front of Bibles. It used to be more common. You put the family tree, and you trace it back through the generations and so on. These things just
today
don't
it's
exist
impossible
anymore.
Practically. Dr. Brown, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, but today it's impossible practically to put your family tree. You need a pop-out three-dimensional Bible, and you need some software to graph who in the world you've descended from.
And in many cases, you wouldn't know it. Look, it's not to say that there aren't two men or two women listening to us right now that dearly love each other. I'm not denying that. And it's not to say that they aren't each caring for a kid that they dearly care about and that they cried and wept when they just brought into their home. I'm not denying that. I'm simply saying that love wants to provide that kid with a mother and a father. Love does not want to intentionally separate them from either the mother or the father.
I think you might have said now the second thing on the show, Dr. Brown, that I'd like to maybe ask you about and question. You know, people say they love one another. The Beatles said all you need is love, and then they broke up. So what the world sees as love, God often identifies as selfishness. My first cousin became famous in New Jersey for changing the law so that he and his homosexual partner could adopt children. And sure, there is a commitment at some level between those men and those children, but the rebellion that's in their heart against Jesus Christ, their warm feelings for those kids don't at all make up for the destruction that they've brought into those kids' lives. Like there were Germans who were Nazis, and they got together on the holidays, and they had a really fun time. But to me, none of that is worth acknowledging. It's just not worth acknowledging the nice feelings that wicked people have for those that they're destroying.
Yeah, I would say it in this way. I spoke with a man at great length, interacted with him online at some length, and he had gone, I don't know how far he'd gone in sex change surgery to, quote, become a woman.
Yeah.
But he said to me that he effectively destroyed his marriage of 37 mm-hmm. years, and he claimed to be a committed Christian. And I said, the New Testament says, you lay down your life for your wife. You follow the model of Jesus, who laid down his life.
Yes.
And you are called to lay down your life for your wife. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you put her first. And he said it was either that or suicide. He said, I've effectively rendered her a widow and destroyed a marriage of 37 years. Well, what he was ultimately saying was, ultimately, I had to choose me. There is
exactly,
in the final end.
Exactly, Michael Brown, exactly. And these homosexual men who say they love one another, they're actually loving themselves. They're using, regardless of whatever feelings they could muster up, they're using the other for their own, to express their own rebellion against God. That's first and foremost. Again, love is the commitment for the good of another. Love is the commitment for the good of another. In a homosexual relationship, or homosexuals who are adopting children, there is not there a commitment for the good of that child. There are some emotions and feelings, but they're not worthy of being called love, I don't think.
Yeah, well, certainly from their perspective, they would say they do care, they
yes.
do love.
Yes.
They've taken in a kid that others wouldn't take in. They work hard for the kid. They take the kid to,
yeah.
you know, the doctor and, you know, all of this. What I would say is, no matter how committed they are, the best scenario for that kid is to be joined to a mother and to a father. Look, to me, ultimately, this is very sad, because I've spoken with enough people who identify as LGBT. I've interacted face to face. I've sat across the table with a meal. I've had many, many a conversation and flights around America and overseas. It's not like every person you're talking to is this angry gay activist who wants to silence you.
Right.
I mean, there have been people, you know, they've been hurt. They've been wounded.
Yes,
the stance that
absolutely.
We take, they feel hurt and wounded. And to me, it's a very sad thing. But ultimately, if I can't see, looking at this as a Christian, that this is the ultimate a threat to freedom of speech, conscience, and religion in America. If I can't see that this is yet another nail in the coffin of the right understanding of marriage in America, if I can't see that this is yet another casting off of God and his ways,
yes.
I can't recognize that. I'm spiritually blind.
Yes, Dr. Brown, it seems that Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive in the public square. One or the other will be in the closet. And so we are seeing, obviously, that our presidential candidates, we call the field 19 and counting, sure, there's a handful of them that will publicly criticize this ruling, but there's hardly a one of them who will acknowledge that homosexuality is destructive. If you love your neighbor, you will warn him, do not be a homosexual. There's not a one who could do that. And homosexuality is destroying far more Americans, individuals, and families than terrorists ever dream of destroying. So that's the state. Our leaders are intimidated, and increasingly Christian leaders are intimidated from saying that homosexuality is wrong. Dr. Brown, could I challenge something you said? Maybe, I don't know if you've considered this, but
go ahead.
The idea that if people want to shack up, whatever consenting adults do is their business. It's none of the government's business. That's new. That's just in the last 50 years. For the previous 3,500 years, sex was only legitimate, meaning declared legally valid, within marriage. A man and a woman within marriage. The idea that consenting adults can have sex, that your neighbor could try to seduce your wife and that's all legally fine, that people could shack up, that they could even videotape themselves and sell the videos. I mean, all of this, I think, is a humanist idea. It's the humanist, Hollywood, Hillary, and the homosexuals that have argued that sex has to be legal. And it's Jesus, Moses, and the Apostle Paul whose teachings for thousands of years have helped nations see that sex is only legal within marriage. And so back a few decades, when the Christian leaders decided to throw out that Judeo-Christian legal heritage and accept sexual immorality as legal, that we have to acknowledge it and legitimize it, declare it legally valid, and even not only tolerate it, but to defend it, I think that's when we lost the battle, actually.
Yeah, well, I agree and I disagree. I agree in terms of history and how things have shifted. The reason I said what I said is the current state of America, the current state of our government, adultery is not illegal, fornication
right.
is not illegal unless it's beneath a certain age. And,
right.
In other words, if we have a deep moral and spiritual revival and the fear of God comes to our nation again, then there are many things that are legal and acceptable in our culture. You know, and pornography, pouring through the internet and all kinds
right.
of things.
How do we protect
and,
our
you know,
children?
Accepting each other. Right, right.
Dr.
So
Brown.
Have enough.
Dr. Brown, how do we protect our children? I mean, literally,
yeah, well,
there
we
are millions of our kids growing up completely addicted to pornography, millions of children. And their parents
right.
give them access to the internet unfettered. And it's so devastating. You know, adultery is legal in America the way killing Jews was legal in Germany. So adultery is legal here the way killing Jews is legal there. God would have never looked down on Germany and say, well, you know, killing Jews is legal. And I think the same thing here. He would never look down on a man seducing his neighbor's wife and say, well, at least it's legal. I think we need to cry out to God for help to understand what he would have for our nation today.
Yeah, well, that's why we must have a sweeping revival, a sweeping awakening, beginning with us, beginning with the church, beginning with repentance in our midst, beginning with holiness, beginning with adults and parents, turning their hearts to God and turning their hearts towards their kids, awakening among our kids. And if the culture around us doesn't change, then we have to be much more careful and much more protective. By the way, just to mention this before I run, a book that will be out in September, Outlasting
yes.
Gay Revolution, Homosexual Activism is Really Going and How to Turn the Tide. And I want folks to know this is not the end of the story. In many ways,
yes.
the Supreme Court decision is only the beginning of the story, and it's imperative that awakening, repentance, turning to God begins with us.
There's our music. Is it askdrbrown.org? That's the best way for
yes,
folks.
Yes, that's it.
Askdrbrown.
Askdrbrown.org.
Askdrbrown.org. Michael Brown, what an honor to have you back on the show. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
God bless you. So that's Dr. Brown. Our website, kgovkgov.com. May God bless you.